League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town, and happy MLK Day for all of you that are just out there frolicking in the beautiful weather before the cold front hits, enjoying a little time off. We have made a commitment to you, which means Nick, Barry, and myself are going to take you through to 4 p.m. no matter what you are up to on this Monday. Good to have everybody with us as the boys check in. What up, boys?
What's up?
How's it going?
Struggle bus. That's what I'm riding right now.
The struggle bus. Are you fastened in?
These damn... I left my headphones, and these suck.
Are they AJ's?
No, they're whatever, like the ones we give to the guests because we don't care if they can hear us or not, apparently.
With community earwax on them?
Yeah. It's pretty gross. Uh-huh. Yeah, so I left them there. But other than that, I'm good
Isn't
to go.
Isn't AJ's in the cabinet below you?
Yeah.
Going to go to them today? You're not going to the pen?
No, I figured I'd just try these, but I may have to switch in the show because it sounds like I'm listening to our show underwater.
Oh.
Yeah, it sounds terrible. So
We can't even make it sound good if you're dealing with those kind of elements.
No, definitely not. And I'm officially starting I'm getting serious about this weight loss challenge as of today.
Me too.
I know that a lot of you know weigh-ins. The last day for weigh-ins is today, close of business, so you better get out to one of the locations. If you're looking for a location to weigh in, you can go to ESPN975.com. There's a link on the right-hand side for The Usual Suspects, ESPN Weight Loss Challenge. All the info's in there. There's some world gyms in Beaumont you can weigh in at. I don't have it in front of me, but yeah, go to ESPN975 to get the details. But today's the last day, so it officially, and intern Chris was asking, when does it officially start? It officially starts in the morning, but I went ahead and started it today. Woke up with a run, got a salad from Chick-fil-A that I wasn't thrilled with. How are you with fruit in a salad?
Don't like it.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
I, like, if you put an apple slice on top of my salad as a garnish or something, that's cool. I'll eat the apple and then eat my salad.
Right.
But this had blueberries and strawberries and apples and all kinds of stuff, plus chicken, plus the greens. And I didn't realize all that. So I got Italian dressing because it's very low calorie. Mm-hmm. Pro tip. If you're out there and you want to eat salads, don't get ranch. It's fattening. Get Italian dressing.
Right, right.
So I get Italian dressing and I open up the salad. I just pour the Italian dressing on. You ever had an apple with Italian dressing?
Doesn't sound good.
No.
I can tell you that.
No, it's not. It's not good at all, but I try to power through. But maybe that's the secret to losing weight, is just buy some food that you don't want to eat and then done. You don't gain any calories.
We need to notate, too. Our offices are officially closed.
Yeah, don't come up here to weigh in.
And I know that Raheel helped out someone that showed up a little early today, but the office is closed, even the doors open, so we can get in and out. So therefore, don't come up here to get weighed in. As Barry said, check the locations on ESPN975.com and make sure you get to one of those locations, including Moe's place over there at 900 Lovett Street in Montrose.
Yep.
Like you mentioned, the two World Gyms in Beaumont. We've got plenty of locations on the website, the Man Centers. So definitely get signed up.
So I weighed in at home this morning, but I'll do my official weigh-in during the show. I'll go over there.
I did the weigh-in up front, and then you take a picture of it, right?
Well, I think the three of us were safe, but
yeah, because
so
we're not.
What was your weight?
Not really happy about moving it out there.
Why? We're all doing
this. Because it's embarrassing. Holy cow. I'm blaming it on my massive weightlifting.
That's ridiculous that you won't tell us what your weight was. How are we supposed to know that?
Oh, it's up there.
Okay, but why are you?
Because you make fun of my weight every day.
Are you kidding me right now?
You do. You bust my balls on my weight all the time.
Yeah, but the weight thing is public anyway.
Nick, when have you ever heard me tease him about being big?
Oh, my God. When we were on vacation.
I made one fat joke, I'm sure.
A lot.
Bro, I think you're being hypersensitive about that.
And I can give you the last one.
Okay, what was it?
Because I remember it.
When
we were on vacation, and I was talking about Jermaine filling in with Craig Koshkin, and you said we were figuring who was who on the air. And you're like, oh, definitely Jermaine is me. Because I'm the good-looking one, and you're the overweight one.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was the one time.
No. There's been plenty more.
I remember that. But that was also just it's a joke. Like,
I'm blaming my weight gain on getting back into lifting weights and increasing my weightlifting capacity.
AJ did that to me once. He shamed me into losing weight. He just wouldn't leave me alone about it until I lost weight.
I can shame myself based on getting on that scale.
But so you're not going to tell us what you weigh.
228.
228. That's not that bad.
Oh,
dude, there's like, we have almost 400 pounds in the contest. What are you talking about?
That's not good for me.
Well, I'm certainly not happy with mine. When I was here, was it Friday, Nick? Before we left, I was 197.7. That's not good. So,
oh, my God.
That's not good at all.
When I was in my professional hell and working on things, I had gotten down to 198.7.
Nice.
So now that's quite the difference that I'm not happy with.
Yeah, but you have a lot more muscle in your body.
Yeah.
I don't.
Got back in the gym and stuff, which is ironic because we took Taylor for pictures today. The last time we took her for pictures is what motivated me to start lifting weights again. I posed with, we had family pictures, and I had a golf shirt on, and I literally looked like I needed a training bra. I had the Moob.
Like my picture with Pauly Shore?
Yeah, I had a Moob and some things. And literally, I'm sitting there begging Lisa's mom and brother, going, don't show that to anybody else, please. Don't pass that along. So that's what got me back in the gym. So today, we redid the shoot. We did another shoot for her. And I'm just like, okay, I'm feeling a lot better. I'm feeling a lot better. I got definition in my chest again. I'm going to be good. Then I get on the scale when I get here, and I'm like, kick me in the nuts with a steel-toed work boot. Good Lord.
That's not that bad, though. So what's your goal? What do you want to get to? 200?
Between 200 and 210, I'll take, yeah. But, yeah, let's go for on the aggressive side. Let's go to 205.
All right, I'm shooting for 170. So I'm trying to drop.
I have no doubt you'll get there.
Almost 30 pounds.
Yeah, we'll see. No doubt you'll get.
But that's 170 with clothes. So maybe, like, because this morning I weighed on my scale and just my draws, and I was 194.4. But the official weigh-in has to come here on this scale at our office, so it'd be 197.7. So, you know, if I could weigh in at home at 170, I think that'd probably put me at about 175 here with clothes on and everything. So that's the goal.
Okay.
And I started this morning. I got the salad. Excuse me. I got up and went running, ran 2 miles. And boy, that's the hard part, the exercise. The dieting for me is okay. I can do that. It's getting motivated. And then what I told myself is, all right, and this goes for anybody that's doing it, just get up and even if it's just like, okay, day one, I'm going to put on shorts and a shirt or, you know, sweatpants and a shirt, and I'm going to walk the block one time. And then day two, walk it twice or whatever. And then, you know, walk a half mile, run a half mile, whatever. But it's just getting started is usually the hardest part.
Well, and
I told myself I'm going to run 1 mile today. By the time I got to that mile.
You haven't been running, right?
No, I haven't ran in.
See, that's the thing.
Months and months
and months. Mine is not the workout part of it.
Just the eating?
Because, but well, and even then, I eliminated dairy. But like I had my last cheat meal last night.
Right.
Which was a
huge
mistake.
Pizza.
Yes.
Yep, me too.
But at the same time, I played 3 hours of basketball on Saturday. I've been running between 3 and 4 miles on the treadmill a couple times a week. And I've been lifting at least once a week for at least an hour and a half. So I just have to, I think for me, it's just it's portion control more than anything. Because I've been eating majority salads during the week, but the salads are like a whole bag of that leafy lettuce with tomatoes, lettuce, vegetables, and some tuna. But I got to do
Are you putting
different.
Ranch dressing on it?
No, I hate ranch dressing. What kind of
dressing do you put
Catalina.
On
Catalina.
Because usually where you make a mistake,
you can get a ton. Yeah.
Yeah, usually like my salad from Chick-fil-A was like 280 calories because I got the light Italian, which is 25 calories. So you can keep a salad under 300. But I tell you what, man, one of the best things, and Mo could probably back this up, but one of the best things you could do if you really want to speed up your metabolism is eat a lot of small meals. Put yourself on a calorie like, okay, you know, and it depends on your size too, like, you know, if you're over 300, you probably don't want to start off on 1,500 calories a day. You probably want to start more. But like for me at 197 and I'm 5'10", if I ate a 300-calorie meal
And then 2 hours later, I ate 100 calories. Then 2 more hours later, 300. And then you alternate that all day until you hit your calorie goal, whether it's 12 or 1500. Man, your metabolism speeds up and you lose.
See, at least
so I did this with a thing called, well, I won't give their name because they don't sponsor. Right. But it was an online thing I did a couple years ago. I lost 13 pounds in 12 days. Wow. Doing that kind of thing.
See, and that's the thing. Now, but you guys don't have to deal with what I have to deal with reflux-wise. Reflux, because if I'm going to do cardio at all, I can't eat for up to 3 hours before I do that. Yeah. Otherwise, it's a nightmare for me. But, like, lately, I've been doing a smoothie in the morning, and I'll grab a coffee on the way here. I'll drink all this water, and then I'll do cardio. But then at night, I'm eating dinner, and mm-hmm. then for dessert, instead of anything sweet, I'll either do, like, pineapple or something like that. But even that, I shouldn't be doing.
Yep.
Or grant. So that's where I've got to make some, because you're right. I need to do smaller meals more frequently, but it's tougher for me on days that I'm trying to do cardio.
Yeah, once I'm in it though, like, are you that way? Once I'm fully engaged, like once I get, if I make it to the end of February doing this, I'm in. I'll hit my goal. It's just, I'll usually start and then 3 or 4 days in, I'll fail. And then start, and then I'm the dummy that's like, well, I can only start dieting on Monday. So if I fail by Thursday, I eat horrible until Monday.
Yeah, I was thinking
about
it.
And I ruin it that way.
If I get into a routine, like when I eliminated dairy, once I got into the routine to stay away from it, I was good. And then just like the getting the salads at night. Once I eliminated all the things I like to eat for dinner and started consistently to just know that I can mix up the dressings or change some things to make it taste, you know, have more variety, but it's better for me. I felt better. Like Lamont saying, I can't believe that you weigh more than me. Look, I can't either. And I don't feel like
you probably hide it well, though, too.
Yeah, but I see myself in the mirror with a shirt off. It doesn't look, I don't have overhang. I don't have like the love roll.
Boy, I do.
But I have, you know, again, I've tried to increase a lot of weightlifting things, but that still is not no excuse. I got to just kind of streamline it to try and get more cut up. So I'm going to work on it.
Good, man. I'm excited. I think this is going to help everybody.
And then I agree.
Chris said, our intern Chris, who's like, are we doing before, during, and after pictures? You can, but we're not officially collecting them. But I recommend you do. In fact, I was telling my wife this morning, and I know we got to go to break, Nick, but I was telling my wife this morning that I think one thing I'm going to have to do to keep me motivated this time is I have a picture. I did some before and afters a long time ago, and I started it when I started at 220 and got down to 170. And I had that after picture. I was like, I'm going to print that picture and put it on my bathroom mirror. And that'll keep me motivated to be like, I can get there.
Yeah.
I can do that. Whatever it takes, man. Whatever you got to do, do it.
No doubt. And you know what? The greatest thing, too, is the fact that all the listeners participating, we motivate each other and we have some fun doing it to where, again, you get into a routine and you don't even realize that part of the routine is we're having so much fun. We're also doing things to create a healthy lifestyle and take some weight off in the process. So that should be fun. So we're going to continue to do it. Nick weighed in at 124. So he's going to continue to work in.
174.
Oh, I forgot 50 pounds.
By the way, somebody said, hey, I was the one that weighed in this morning that Joel said Raheel was there. I was wondering if I need to send any info. Yeah, you should have signed in on the sheet. So text me your name, your height, your weight, and all that, and what you weighed in, and I'll have Raheel verify it, and I'll put you on the list.
And Barry brings up the very important information, which is text him. You can text all of us. The text line number, 713-780-3776. You can text that line. We'll get it. You can also call that line if you want to get on the show. HR&P listener line will be available for you till 4. And also, you can hit us up on Twitter. It's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is funny. We're just getting started. Plenty on the agenda, including Charlie Pullillo at 1:30. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Work the ball on the boundary. Hannah steps into it. Pass is caught.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sherrara.
That was the national call from Fox on the game of the weekend, which I don't think anybody thought was going to be the game of the weekend after the Jaguars upset the Steelers. But lo and behold, the NFL weekend did not disappoint for the most part, as Tennessee did what we expected. But everybody else had their hands full in what made for some entertaining football, whether you had a team in the fight or not. As we return on the usual suspects, it's Barry, Nick, and Joel as we head you up till 4 o'clock. Have some fun here for the next 3 hours. The football weekend was fantastic. I wrote about it for Sports Map simply because of the fact that we figured out, even if we didn't have a team we were rooting for, we felt the agony of Clarence in defeat for the Saints. You could feel that instant euphoria for the Vikings when you watched it all unfold. But if you go to Sports Map, I tried to kind of encapsulate some of that because, man, for all the downs of the NFL on and off the field this year, their divisional playoff weekend turned out pretty damn good for them.
I meant it when I said it, but that was the most Saints way to lose a game I've ever seen. I feel so bad for Saints fans because they've suffered and they've gone through some rough times. And I remember the paper bags and the ants and all that. And you always feel like, I know that they feel like they're a cursed team, much like Houston sports. Well, me as a Houston sports fan growing up, I kind of felt that way, that the city and all the teams are snake bit. And I think New Orleans Saints fans feel that way. And it reared its ugly head yesterday. It was at that point where you're thinking, all right. And see, even when he caught it in my head, what was your first reaction? Get out of bounds. Get out of bounds. Get out of bounds. Get out of bounds.
I'm watching this because I'm pulling for the Saints now because obviously I hate the Vikings. They're in my division. But at the same time, I'm thinking, hey, just tackle them in bounds. You win the game. Tackle them. And I didn't know how much time until I went back and watched it a second time was left on the clock. But that could have ended badly for the Saints in so many ways. Because even if he does tackle him, his momentum was kind of going towards the sidelines.
Would have been out of bounds and kicked the field goal.
If Diggs gets down and then gets out, there's about 5 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah, but that's what I was thinking. Because, you know, I mean, the kickers actually did pretty well in the game. What's his name? The Viking kicker's got a leg. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, because he nailed the 50-whatever yarder to take the lead late.
Yeah, but, I was thinking, well, he could still miss it. They could block it. We'll see what happens. And then all that just flashed in my head as he caught that ball. And then he was gone. And I didn't, you know, I'm watching it thinking, there's something. There's got to be a flag. He stepped out of bounds. That was it. One of the better finishes to an NFL game I've seen in a long, long time.
You talk about probably a little almost prior to our day, but you talk about the immaculate reception with Franco Harris. Mm-hmm. You talk about,
which I wasn't around to see.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about some of the big plays in NFL history, but that as a walk-off. We're used to walk-off wins in baseball, but to have a walk-off win in football like that was pretty damn spectacular. Like I said, whether you were a fan of either team or not, that was pretty awesome. And I kept just shaking my head watching it the first time going, oh my God, that just happened? Like, there were so many different variables in the Saints' favor. All you got to, and then to watch the replay and watch how badly he whiffed. And to his credit, he admitted it was on him and he missed. But not only did he miss, but then he almost provided the gateway for Diggs to go right down the sideline.
Yeah, he threw the block on his own player. I was trying to find a list of like playoff finishes and where this compared. And so I found one on Yahoo and just see if you kind of agree. They have it as the third best playoff miracle finish of all time. You want to go 10 or 5? We'll do top five, right?
Because I'm interested in 1 and 2 first, if depending on how long the list is, just to see. Because to me, I'm like 3.
You want
one
those
and two
first?
Better be pretty damn good.
You want those first?
It's up to you guys.
All right. Number one on the list, the Immaculate Reception.
Franco Harris.
Yeah, Franco Harris, 1972 AFC Divisional Round. Second on the list, and I think we tend to forget about this, but the Music City Miracle.
Yeah, that's one I had seen in the list that I had seen as well. Yeah, the onside kick. The kick that ended up being
a kick
all
return
the
for a touchdown and the laterals, right, which they found out later was
not a lateral.
Yeah, this should have been. It should have never happened, but it did. Music City Miracle. Yeah, they have a third. They're calling it the Minneapolis Miracle, which is a stupid name.
Wasn't Santonio Holmes? Wasn't that pretty late in the Super Bowl when Roethlisberger hit Santonio Holmes in the corner of the end zone?
Number four is the catch, Dwight Clark's catch in the back of the end zone.
Yep.
Number five is Owens.
I hate that game.
Yeah. 1998 wildcard playoff game against the two-time defending NFC champion Green Bay Packers.
Say it again,
Owen Nick, ran a pass route on the Packers.
Stab me in the nuts with an ice pick while you're at it. I'm good.
Number six, Drew Pearson's Hail Mary. Number seven, Sea of Hands.
Do you remember Drew Pearson's Hail Mary?
No.
I don't either.
Number 8, Santonio stays in bounds.
Okay.
Number 9, Tebow's pass triumph in the, I think that was a wild card game too.
What
and the number
10,
Steve Smith ends the Rams season. Sea of Hands, one of the best games and one of the best nicknames for a play in NFL history. In a 74 divisional playoff game, the Raiders quarterback threw up a pass to the end zone as he was being sacked. Surrounded by Dolphins defenders, Raiders running back Clarence Davis managed to haul in the pass for the game-winning 8-yard score with 24 seconds left.
No clue.
The hold-your-breath nature of Stabler's wild throw into a crowd made it a thrilling moment.
Nick, I'm glad you remembered 8 of those 10.
In other words, he just chunked it up. That's all. He just, and got lucky. Which, I mean, you saw last night, Keenum, in that second half, he had that first interception that he threw, just threw it up. I thought, uh-oh.
Yep.
Here comes the old Case Keenum that Texans fans will remember. Because he was known for that when he played here. He would just throw it up. A lot of times he'd just be like, you know, almost like when you're playing backyard football and the rush gets through and you just chunk it up and hope somebody makes it or catches it. He was prone to that.
Tell you what, he tried to do it on the one play late in the game on the running back going to the sideline and ended up completing the pass. And I'm like, oh, God, that's a duck. Someone should pick that off. And it just kept going, wah, 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 wah. And all of a sudden it ended up right on the running back's hands for a completion. I'm like, oh, man, it might be his day.
Yeah.
All right, so I had said this last week to the overzealously joyful Clarence. I had said, hey, man, I hope that for your sake they win it all. Because of the fact that if they don't, it is going to be a hard fall when you go down. I did not know it was going to be this hard. But to his credit, right from the get-go, he was on Twitter, and he wasn't okay, but he was taking his lumps. So let's bring him in. Clarence, hey, guys, how y'all doing?
What up, guys?
You sound a little bit more upbeat than you were last night. You okay now?
Yeah, I'm okay. You know, you have to get through it, get over it.
Now, Clarence, are you medicated or is this just a natural high that you're on?
Oh, no. This is me taking a break from work.
Did you take off today?
Yeah. I'm not off.
Did you call in sick? That would be great.
Oh, no.
No? Okay.
I didn't call in sick. I was off. I had a night of reflection, and all I could do is be proud of boys, you know? I mean,
I'm curious, do you have any Vikings fans or anti-Saints fans at your job? And if so, did you talk mad crap to them on Friday?
I have Cowboys fans around me, and they have no room.
Did you talk crap to them on Friday?
Oh, no, I didn't. You know, I'm not usually the trash talk. I'm just happy the next day, and after that, we move on to the next one. You know, I feel bad for Marcus Williams. He made a rookie mistake. One of the rules of tackling is you're never supposed to drop your head, and that's what he did. He dropped his head and lunged.
Clarence, overall, though, you can't get mad at Marcus Williams because the guy kind of propelled you momentum-wise to be in that position. I mean,
exactly.
He's played big all year.
Some fans, you know, I'm not mad at Marcus Williams. When he caught that third quarter interception, you know, I can't be mad at him. He made a rookie mistake. He's going to learn from it. It's going to hurt for the next 7 months or so. You know, for the next 2 weeks or so, they're going to keep replaying it, and he's going to think about it. But I can't be mad at him. He played outstanding this season. All the boys played great. We weren't supposed to be what we was this early, but we got there, and I can't be at fault. I can't be mad at him.
Well, good for you.
Some plays I wish they would have got back, but, you know.
You sound like you're taking it like a champ. I would be pretty devastated. Honestly, you're the first person I thought of after everything calmed down. I was like, oh, poor Clarence.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean.
And I was going to stay on the poor Clarence till I remembered how gloatingly gleeful you were after last week. And I was like, oh, even I wouldn't wish this on Clarence.
I mean, if it was just an outright loss, then yeah, y'all can go ahead and stick it to me as much as you want, but to lose that way in the most brown bag wearing way, it was just bad, man. It was bad.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Clarence. You kept your
Hang
word
in there, buddy.
You said you'd call no matter what, so appreciate it, man.
We're gonna call off the suicide watch. We know at least you're out and about, so that's good news. All right, we'll continue to move on. Talk about more football. I'm sure Charlie coming in. We will talk about yesterday's Saints Vikings game as well as the rest of the results for the week. Some of us, including one of us in our trio, had a very, very good weekend picking games. And I'll let you know, it wasn't Barry or me. So we'll continue to move on as we welcome Charlie in next on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Say I do.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We are back on The Usual Suspects, joined by the person of interest that always joins us Mondays, Fridays, 1:30 to 2 p.m. right here on 97.5. He is the man with a plan on 94.1 Sports Map. He is Charles Polillo. He goes 11 to 1 Monday through Friday, and then after being exhausted and completely out of breath, he joins us for a half hour. Right? Thanks for joining us to give us your second best effort of the day. I'm hoping.
You want to do your show 8 till 11 and I'll come in before?
Ooh.
I don't mind doing it. If you can arrange that, we'll take that. 8 to 11, we're done for the day.
Volunteered you pretty quickly for the early wake-up call, Barry.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Well, you're done for the day at 11 a.m.
I don't know.
You must be starting your day.
Do you understand that some mornings I get up at 11 a.m.?
Yeah, I've heard about all that.
And it's why would I want to be here at the crack of dawn for an 8 a.m. show? No. I'm out.
Set you up perfectly to drive in right in the smack of Houston rush hour.
I would love a 7 p.m. show. Would I not,
just for
Charlie?
Wake-up call purposes?
Yeah, just a 7 to 10 would be awesome.
So would people. That actually cared enough to listen after 7 p.m.
I was going
to
say, is that, which is better? I don't know. I'm not a radio guy per se. I haven't been in the business like you guys have.
Well, I'm not an early morning.
Well, I know like they consider
the
drive time.
I never had interest.
Yeah,
in
but drive doing. Time is considered the height, right? So you've got the
well, that's the most revenue potential.
Six to nine, 6 to 10, and then 4 to 7, right? So
that frames it about right.
Yeah, but then so which is 7 to 10 considered not like nobody wants to work the grave? Is that considered graveyard? Like nobody?
No, I think certainly in the era of all sports radio, the biggest downer to me is you're on against the games.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Part. Yeah.
Did you ever have to do that? That time slot? Were you ever at a 7 to 10 guy?
Yeah, way back when the signature sports talk show of Houston was Sports Beat before the first sports station came along. That was an evening show, 6 till 10.
Really?
Now, when the station
was
had
that, you
had
and the guy
rights,
that drives around town on 20s.
Different people, okay. Different people, different times.
All right.
But yeah, where I actually decided, while that was the station that originally hired me down here, and big, powerful station, a real news talk station at the time, it also had the rights. At one point, this KTRH I'm talking about, at one point it had the rights overlapping season to season to season of the Astros, the Oilers, and the Rockies.
Yes. Yeah.
And the last point for me was out of the lockout, 98-99 season, Scottie Pippen trade. This is one of the few cities where the NBA mattered still after the lockout. The Rockets still had a little bit of the lingering embers from the championships. Yep. And the Pippen trade brought buzz that you had Pippen replacing Clyde. So with Barkley and Olajuwon, theoretically. And that was the season where in a brilliant broadcast deal from the Rockets' end, not so much for the station that overpaid, but
why do you keep pointing
my
at
station, because you were on the side that did the
That's
fleece.
Correct.
You weren't
That's
the fleece correct. E, you were the yes. fleecer.
Yes.
And so anyway, I was on the station that no longer had the Rockets game. So too often I'm doing a show and I'm kind of watching the Rockets game and thinking I'd rather be at the Rockets game or watching the Rockets game.
Well, that's how we crossed paths when I first got to town. And inevitably, you know, you feel for the, even Fred and AJ now. I mean, if there's an East Coast game and it starts at 6, you get into a flow when you're doing your show and you prep like you're going to do a regular scheduled, regular time slot show. And then all of a sudden it's like pad the brakes and then step on the emergency brake because it's over and you're going right to into a game broadcast. And that can be, as much as people think you want the time off, it can be frustrating because you still have to come in. You still have to prep. And then all of a sudden it's just a, you know, a shortened show.
And the reality of it is you're losing more of the prime time portion of the show if you're going to a pregame at 6:30. So that's where I always wanted Rockets games to be at 3:30 in the afternoon. Play the game, and then I'll come on and still have drive time
and
after.
And you can talk about it.
They really wouldn't consult with me there.
That would be good.
Well, the average listener is going, why aren't you guys talking about the Saints and the Vikings? Did you see the Steve Gleason tweet?
Well, we just talked about it in the previous segment. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, the whole
weekend.
Have you
seen a Steve Gleason tweet? Have you guys talked about
that yet? I have not. What was it?
This, if any other human being alive basically did it, it would be disgusting and repulsive, and the person would deserve 1,000 miserable deaths. Steve Gleason, pretty quickly after the game, and I guess for those who aren't aware, the former New Orleans Saint, now dealing with ALS, Gleason tweeted out, paraphrasing, that ending was so devastating, I'm in shock, I can hardly move.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny.
For Steve Gleason, you know, for Saints fans, if you needed a perspective in life, and, you know, why we love sports is that we care so much about stuff that inherently really doesn't matter. Now, they're multi-billion-dollar businesses and jobs are on the line, but, I mean, truly, truly, at their essence, they are diversions, they are entertainment, or they're supposed to be. But for Steve Gleason, who's inevitably dying of ALS, and he's deep in it, so he has no motor skills, basically, at this point. And so for Steve Gleason, and for any who have not seen the documentary, which is most because most people don't see it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's powerful. It's moving. And this is a person who has no feelings saying.
Good
that
point.
It's you know, if you don't get at least misty watching the
Gleason documentary. Yeah, his tweet was, congratulations to the Vikings. I'm so in shock. I can't move.
That's a great joke. I mean, that really
is.
Life
in perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically really paraplegic.
But if you tell that in a club, it's edgy. Some people will laugh, others will go ooh, and others will hate you.
Yes,
right. Which sometimes can be the objective of comedies to promote and so forth. But on the humanity level of it, that Steve Gleason sent that, I was like, you know, there's no reason to not be
fantastic.
Pulling for this guy as hard as you can. And he does an ongoing diary, I guess, through the blinks of his eye, he can type in a computer with all this technology, and he has an ongoing life diary for his young kid, so when his kid grows up and he's no longer here, it's going to take a doozy to beat that for me for tweet of the year.
Well,
I know
so,
it's only January 15th, but the bar is set high.
Pretty high. And we were talking in the previous segment about the game and the ending and everything, and I'm curious what your thoughts were. I was looking for kind of an idea of where that finish ranked among famous NFL playoff finishes, and I found the thing on Yahoo that had it third, behind Music City Miracle at 2 and the Immaculate Reception is at 1. Where does it fall for you?
I think the X factors on this were the play wasn't even designed as a Hail Mary. So it worked out as a Hail Mary. God hates the Saints. That's kind of weird to let that happen to them. And then throwing a desperate pass on the sideline, hoping to catch it, get out of bounds, and then try the field goal. Instead, you wind up winning the game, so it was the double shock. I'm not saying that Hail Marys are commonplace, but they are part of football, and we've seen them, and we could all name a few. But to win the game on a play that wasn't even designed to win the game in that spot, the Immaculate Reception's a natural comparison. Those Steelers, though, then lost the next week. The Music City Miracle Titans, 99 season. They then, was that the year they lost the Rams
got
to the
Rams by
so
they on
the
1 yard
Super Bowl.
Line. Yeah.
Right.
So the Vikings win that way. If they now win this week to go to the Super Bowl, to me that tops Immaculate Reception because the Steelers lost the next week to the undefeated Dolphins. The Steelers were the home team in that game, by the way. And if the Vikings then get to play the Super Bowl on their home field,
first time ever,
and they win the Super Bowl, to me it then becomes the greatest ending to a game and the most amazing great ending to a game in NFL history.
There you go.
And it was amazing for a lot of reasons because the post-game quotes were outstanding too. And the fact that if you didn't see it or hear it, Stephon Diggs was interviewed by Josina Anderson and they taped it for ESPN, but they had the guts to run it regardless. And Nick, we got it. you want to play it now?
I still don't know what just happened. I really don't.
Yes.
All I can say is give it to God, because without him, nothing is possible, and I wouldn't be here. So, damn, that shit feel good.
So you give it to God, and then damn, and that feels good. So, and they ran it as is. And then shortly after that, Jacina Anderson was interviewing Case Keenum, and one of the offensive linemen came over to give him a hug and didn't realize she was between him and the hug, and she got caught in the middle of a bear hug with shoulder pads. So she had a hell of a day, but it made for great audio, but a hell of a finish. And like you said, depending on how it all plays out, we'll see, but definitely top five all time in terms of fantastic finishes. So we got one segment still to go with Charlie. We'll come back with more of the discussion on football and other things. And of course, right now I want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy, because Infuse Energy is a locally owned and operated energy company here in the Houston area that is solely focused on making sure you are taken care of with the best rates and the best program for your needs, whether it be for your family and your home and your personal use or professional usage for your business. That's what they aim to do. So when you pick up the phone and you call them right off the top, when you call 844-INFUSE2, that's 844-463-8732, or you log on to infuseenergy.com, you're going to get a real human being dealing with you, and they're going to ask questions of you, maybe more questions than you ask them, because they want to make sure they know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, and the peak hours of the day in which you need the best. And then they go to work trying to find the best plan for you. I can speak from experience. Since I signed up with Infuse Energy, my energy bills on a monthly basis have gone down by a large amount, including in the summer months with air conditioning, over $100 a month. They are good at what they do. They're not always going to have the best deals, but they're also going to be honest with you there too and say that someone else can beat them, because they just want to be there like a trusted friend. So when you do need someone that you can go to, they are available. Check them out, infuseenergy.com, 844-INFUSE2, 463-8732. Right off the top, mention ESPN 97.5, get a $25 bill credit, and then go from there as they work with you. Josh Pestikoff and his staff do great work. Check them out. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started and then rolling along as we go. It's Charlie Polillo till 2 o'clock with Nick, Barry, and Joel on The Usual Suspects. We were talking football, primarily the Saints-Vikings before the break and the crazy ending to that one. Case Keenum now joins a trio along with the, I don't know if it's even arguable anymore, the greatest of all time, for quarterbacks with a potential shot at going to a Super Bowl left in this year's playoffs. Tom Brady, Blake Bortles.
Oh, I thought you were talking Bortles.
Yeah,
okay.
Tom Brady, Blake Bortles, Nick Foles, and of course the immortal in Houston, Case Keenum. That's crazy.
I was rooting for a Breeze Brady Super Bowl. I think that would have been fun to watch. And I think somebody had asked me on Twitter if Breeze gets Brady in the Super Bowl and beats him, does it enhance his legacy? Because who was it that he beat?
Was it Manning?
Yeah,
he beat Peyton Manning.
So he would have a win over Manning and a win over Brady in the Super Bowl. Would that have enhanced his legacy? And I think it certainly couldn't hurt to beat those two guys in the biggest game.
But isn't his legacy already solidified?
Yeah,
but two wins over two quality, top 10 quarterbacks of all time, top five, depending on who you talk to.
So I think he's pretty solidly number three of where do you exactly define a generation. But I think it's Brady, Manning, Breeze ahead of Roethlisberger, who's 1-2. Right. Breeze indisputably ahead of an Eli Manning,
right,
who's
1-2. Right.
But to enter the club, that would put Breeze in the club of multiple Super Bowl winning quarterbacks.
And against
which
who
narrows
he beat.
It down.
Yeah. Are you buying into this, both of you, are you guys buying into this whole, Tom Coughlin versus the Patriots, been there, done that with the Giants, they've never beat him?
I'm not.
Are you buying into that at all? Because he's not going to be on the sidelines, which is why I'm not buying into it. He may have put this team together.
He also had, you mentioned Eli Manning, he had a serviceable quarterback. Now, I do, and I know Bortles did a hell of a job managing the game yesterday.
No turnovers.
Right.
Yep.
But at the same time,
that's all you need from him, really.
I don't know. To me, I just can't. I know it was a great win for the Jags, but they did have to kind of hang on at the end, and they got a lot from that defense. I can't jump on board.
What if I told you yesterday that either Jacksonville's offense, and I understand they had a pick six, mm-hmm. or a sack, strip, fumble return, and a touchdown set up by an interception, but that Jacksonville was going to put 45 on the board or give up 42, you know, which would have seemed more ridiculous, much less combining them. Jacksonville's going to give up 42 and win.
Right. Yeah.
I think they have a better shot. Well, for starters, they're actually going to play the game than Pittsburgh would have had at Jacksonville. I know Roethlisberger got going in the second half, and in the end, I expect Brady to win. But, you know, maybe Jacksonville's pass rush can go off. Maybe those cornerbacks can snuff the wide receivers and they figure out how to cover Gronk. But I expect it to be over for Bortles this week.
Not buying into the whole or Tom Coughlin
I give Coughlin and, by extension, I guess Marone credit for just dramatically changing that culture so immediately, along with the defense finally coalesced the high draft picks, and then they add Calais Campbell. But how about Doug Marone, his first year fully in the job, right, interim a couple games in last season. He's in the AFC Championship game. Mike Mularkey goes to the playoffs and wins a game. And by mutual agreement this morning, whatever that means, he's out as head coach of the Titans. And Bill O'Brien has a contract extension into the 22nd century.
Just shocking to me. I mean, and the thing was, 2 weeks ago, Mularkey was on the hot seat. Last week, Mularkey was basically working on a long-term extension with the Titans. And then the news comes on the ticker this morning, and I'm going, what the hell just happened there?
Are you lost to the Patriots? You have to go?
Yeah. I mean, what, because it wasn't close? Well, it wasn't supposed to be. And that's shocking to me. And to even add fuel to your fire, I'm looking at it this morning, and I'm looking at Bill O'Brien's stats, and I did this before, but you compare two quarterbacks in the final year of their deal, Mike McCarthy in Green Bay and Bill O'Brien in Houston. Mike McCarthy, who's had a hell of a career in Green Bay, and made the playoffs 9 out of 12 years, and won a Super Bowl, and got into 4 NFC Championship games, got a 1-year extension. Bill O'Brien, for going 9-7, 9-7, 9-7, 4-12, got 4 more years and has 5 now, depending on who you ask. It's a 4-year extension or a 5-year extension. Regardless, did they feel like the smokescreen that his agent put out there that either the Giants or Patriots were going to snap him up if he was available scared them into doing that? What are they doing?
One of the national guys, because these coaches and executives have their national guys, someone floated that if Belichick wound up flirting with the Giants, going to the Giants, that O'Brien would be the first choice of the Patriots.
Yep.
I have no idea if there's anything to that. And there's the area about a part of it that we need to tread delicately, that Rick Smith and his family is dealing with the real world situation as his wife tries to conquer the breast cancer and so forth. But in the end, isn't this total victory now for Bill O'Brien over Rick Smith? They hire a general manager, sign him to a 5-year deal. So Rick Smith is done. He can keep that executive vice president title. And because of the closeness of the families and personal friendship, which generally are thought of as valuable quality attributes, that if Rick Smith's going to be paid forever, but he could be in charge of booking hotels on the road now or making sure the flowers are fresh in the rooms when they go up to the Greenbrier. But he has nothing to do now with the construction of the football team.
Oh,
it is O'Brien
wins.
And Gain show, end of story, and there is no 1-year hiatus for Rick Smith, and then he's back in the saddle again.
He definitely wins, and I think what this is going to prove out is we've looked at the last several years under O'Brien and Rick Smith, and it's always the question, well, who wanted Watson? And you talk to some people, and they'll tell you that was an O'Brien thing. You talk to some people, and it was Rick Smith. Some people will tell you that, Osweiler. Was that a Rick Smith, or was that? So it's always been, you don't know who really was making that decision or getting their way. Well, you're going to find out now, because apparently, and why else would you give him 5 years if they weren't? But Gain and O'Brien are in lockstep. They're on the same page. So over the next 5 years, if they have horrible personnel decisions, then you'll know that the past under Rick Smith wasn't because of Rick Smith necessarily. All of the decisions. I'm sure some of them were.
And I don't have the quote in front of me, but O'Brien's been here 4 years. And in McNair's statement on the extension and Kumbaya, and we have our dream team together now, one of McNair's quotes is, these last couple of weeks we've had meetings that we know each other better now. He's been here 4 years.
Why wouldn't you do that before?
Meetings in the last 2 weeks?
Yeah. I know we got to go, but I wanted to circle back to something because I'm curious what your reasoning is. So you give the Jags zero chance against the Patriots.
I'm a never say never guy. The line's nine. The line's not 39.
What is it? Why do you
Mark
think
Sanchez
that? Is it
all the Blake team that Bortles? Won there in the playoffs?
Is it all Blake Bortles that makes you think that? I mean, is that the sole reason? Because this is a Jags team that has two wins over the Steelers this year. A team that, if you're going to put anybody in the AFC in the class of the Patriots, that would be them, right?
Who, if not for the go to the ground, secure the ball rule, would have beaten the Patriots.
Yeah.
But why do you think that is? At home, they're the Patriots. And it's not just that Bortles is Bortles. I think, for the most part, Brady's still Brady. And I mean, one game in Foxborough in January, and I know it was cold yesterday at Pittsburgh. So you calling your shot, Barry? Are you calling the upset here?
I'm going to do a lot of research this week because I just don't want to pick it. But I said going into this week, my Super Bowl pick was the Steelers, so I couldn't not pick against them. But had I had somebody else, I definitely would have picked the Jags this week. And I've been telling people all year,
he picked them to make the playoffs.
I picked the Jags before the season started. This is a really good football team. I mean, you needn't look back further than the Ravens with Trent. Was it Dilfer? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This reminds me of that a lot. This defense is that good. Maybe not to that level, but this is a defense that can carry them, and they've proven that.
Brad Johnson with the Buccaneers.
Yeah, and I said going into this game that I felt like that the secondary of the Jags would be able to neutralize what the Steelers could do with their weapons, and I think that they could do that against anyone.
Now, the interesting thing is going to be they did that against Pittsburgh, who relies on the outside. Now you flip it, and you have the two outside corners that are great, but New England rides Gronk until he can't go. And that's going to be interesting to see how they try and cover Gronk, because even this weekend, he was wide open.
And Belichick will be smarter with the clock than Tomlin was, and right. So many guys are.
And
but if Jacksonville goes from 3-13 to winning at Pittsburgh and New England successive weeks to go to the Super Bowl, that would have to be the best one-season turnaround, yeah. Right?
Ever. And here's the other thing people forget. They passed on a field goal on 4th-and-2 to go for it and not get it. Those 3 points... maybe, yeah. As you look at the final score, we're a factor.
When Bill Cowher is second-guessing Pittsburgh coaching decisions,
yeah.
You know they were pretty sucky coaching decisions. All right, let me get this in before you kick me out. Message for Roof MD. When was the last time you considered having your roof inspected? How about if you can have that done for free, which you can do and should do on an annual basis, courtesy of Mark Donaldson, the MD, in Roof MD and General Contracting. Entirely Houston-based company. Mark spent his whole life here, and he takes personal pride in being as educated a roofer and general contractor as you can find in the area. 100% free roof inspection. It's not a come on. There's no obligation. No, if you get the roof inspection, it's free after you buy this. All you have to do is, hey, can you take a look at my roof? And they will. And if you need work done, well, they have 12 and 18-month zero-payment plans or longer-term low-payment plans. And then there's the contract-type work from window replacement, painting, fencing, gutters, chimneys, and more. 832-967-ROOF. 832-967-ROOF. At bare minimum, why not get the free inspection? Roof MD and General Contracting. Work in. You heard it from Charlie on ESPN 97.5.
Just like we work in, we hear from Charlie. Mondays and Fridays, right here on The Usual Suspects. Charlie will be back again on Friday. Otherwise, catch him on SportsMap 94.1, 11-1, Monday through Friday. And then just tune right into us and let us take you home through the rest of the day. We're going to be back with hour number two of the big show, with one in the books and plenty more to go. Don't go anywhere. It's Nick Berry and Joel and The Usual Suspects coming up with the second hour of the big show right around the corner, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.